Well, good morning, Your Honor. Robert DuPont, appearing on behalf of Zhao Ying Zhu. I'd like to reserve rebuttal time at the end of this. Basically, Your Honor, we filed this appeal contesting the decision, both decisions, of the immigration judge, in which, one, he has not found persecution of Mrs. Zhu in a general sense, a well-founded fear of persecution, and on a second level, failure to find that she qualifies for relief under under ERIRA for the under the one-child policies of the People's Republic of China. The record will reflect that there is ample evidence supplied and consistent evidence from Ms. Zhu showing that she was subjected repeatedly, first in 96, then in 99, to forcible abortions.
Sure, let me,
and sterilization on top of that.
I'll ask you a question. I have a number of difficulties with this case, but I'd like to hear from you why at least two of the credibility findings that the IJ made aren't supported and why they're not sufficient to uphold the decision. And those two that I'd like to hear your best argument on are basically that it was just implausible that she came to this country or left China on account of the abortion policies, and in order to become pregnant again, because she had been sterilized and couldn't, and her husband wasn't here, and he was the reason that they wanted a son, and it just didn't make it didn't compute.
Yes.
And the second prong of the credibility finding that he made that seems also to have some support and to make some sense is that it was implausible that she involuntarily had the third or that her third pregnancy was aborted involuntarily because she went to work and walked right into the examination room where she knew it would be discovered. So those are the two things I'd like to hear your best argument on.
Okay, Your Honor, and I'm glad you asked those two questions. First, just a general principle, credibility findings need to be relevant and apply to the elements we're trying to fulfill here. And so when we get into a discussion of what are your reasons for leaving the United States, that is not directly relevant to were you in fact subjected to persecution.
What are your reasons for coming to the United States?
Exactly. What did I say something different?
You said leaving the United States.
I'm sorry. What are your reasons for coming to the for going to the United States and leaving the People's Republic of China?
Well, I would think that that's wholly relevant. I mean, whether it's a good reason or, I mean, a good credibility finding or not, I'm not going to talk about right now. I just want to hear your best argument.
I'm not trying to make it.
It's totally relevant to whether you're leaving because of past persecution or because you want to get away from your husband and kid
We have an excellent response to that. I do just think the court should, in its mind, parse the issues.
Go to the response. You're wasting time.
All right. There was clearly stated on the record 8 reasons for leaving the United States, not just one.
8 reasons for leaving China.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Yes, 8 reasons for leaving China. First, she stated discrimination against her family on two continents, conscription of her father. I mean, on two generations, conscription of the father into the Communist Army, forced to feed.
Let me just try to help a little bit here. I understand. I've read the record, and I understand all the reasons she gave. What I'm asking you is your best shot as to those two, from which you might be able to discern that those are the two that I'm most troubled about.
Well, I'm troubled because there's a mischaracterization about her reasons for leaving.
You know, you're either going to answer the questions or you're not.
Are
you paying
attention
to the questions?
Okay. Well, she was asked directly by the court. For her, okay, if you may, at 10 years old, she was subjected to property seizure. She saw half her family taken away from her. She was sent to forced labor camp for 5 years. She's had two forced abortions and a sterilization. She's full knowledge that her government has labeled her family to contain the five black elements and appears to be a basis for ongoing persecution. She stated, I left the country because I hate the system. That I left the country because I want human rights. I left the country because I hope to have a son.
How could she hope to have a son when she'd been sterilized?
Well, Your Honor.
And her testimony was she didn't know that the procedure was potentially reversible until she got to the United States.
Well, Your Honor, I think this is where we have an improper line of questioning by the immigration judge. She may have a faith in God. She may have faith in the American medical system. She may have thought, if I can just get out, plead for asylum, bring my family with me, that I can have a sterilization procedure reversed. But she's not. She doesn't have a doctorate. She doesn't have medical knowledge. All she knows is what people can tell her. And she was forthright in telling the court, once I got here, I was informed that I could have this procedure reversed. What I want to stress is that the court has seized upon, the immigration court seized upon this one tiny element when she has stated eight clear reasons of why she left her country. And I can't think of anything more eloquent than saying, I hate my government. I mean, it's there on the record. CAR 346.
What about the second reason that Judge Reimer asked about, the involuntary third, or termination of the third pregnancy? The IJ found that implausible because that the pregnancy was involuntarily terminated because she went to work. How do you respond to that in terms of credibility?
Here again, we have a mischaracterization in the record because the Ms. Zhu clearly stated, I had to live. I went back to work because I had to live. I had no choice. I needed money. It's there in the record. She was compelled by economic circumstances to go back to work.
So your argument is that she understood she was taking a risk and went back, needed to go back to work. And
she has a husband and a child. There are other family issues for her and her own survival.
Right. Well, the IJ seemed to say that, well, she voluntarily submitted to an examination knowing that it would result in a termination of the pregnancy. What's your response to that?
I can't imagine how that can be voluntary. If there's a condition of you going to work and knowing that you will be fired if you don't comply is submitting to pregnancy tests, and as a male, I'm not subject to that, but I can imagine that's not a voluntary condition. That's compulsion. And here we have a unique situation. You're in the People's Republic of China. Your employer is also your government. This is the same government that's taken away their property, forced conscription of the father, forced this lady to go to labor camp for 5 years. She's fully cognizant of the kind of power that the People's Republic of China wielded over her. And I think it's a gross misunderstanding of what she was going through to characterize her return to work as voluntary or submission to the pregnancy test as voluntary.
You have 40 seconds to go. Would you?
Yeah, I think I hit most of my talking points with those questions. I thank you for listening.
Good.
May it please the Court, my name is Robin Bly. I represent the Attorney General in this matter.
Ms. Bly, I have, putting aside for a moment the bottom line, I have an awful lot of difficulty with the way the hearing was conducted. it strikes me that the immigration judge was fairly boorish about the way he proceeded to take over the examination. The record is a total mess in terms of trying to ascertain what really happened when. And part of that may be attributable to the way the hearing was conducted. And I have a good deal of difficulty with one of the things that the immigration judge said, which either could be a credibility determination or suppose or could be amusing, and that is the implausibility of her becoming pregnant the third time so quickly after having had the having had her second pregnancy aborted, because there's absolutely no support in the record for that kind of implausibility assumption. And I'm not so sure that it's implausible mechanically anyway. So I had, those are just in general the concerns I've got, and I would appreciate your responding to them.
Well, Your Honor, as this Court's aware, this the Board affirmed without opinion the decision of the immigration judge, the second decision of the immigration judge, I should be more clear.
Because this was the second one. The first time the BIA sent it back with specific instructions
to
the immigration
correct.
Judge.
That's correct. To consider the new law and to make a specific credibility finding. That was the first BIA decision. So when the Board does that, it doesn't necessarily approve of every reason that the immigration judge gives, but approves of the outcome. And that there's, I mean, reading that, there's nothing to indicate that this judge is a doctor or anything like that that would indicate that he knew. It may be just speculation on his part, but the alien has the burden of filling in the gaps and explaining these things. And she had said that she had had serious problems after her first abortion. I don't know that that necessarily explains this immigration judge's...
Well, no, but he just pulled it... just kind of pulled it out of thin air and said, you know, I just think it's, I can't believe that after having had the abortion in December, that you could have gotten pregnant again in February. Well, I mean, without putting too fine a point on it, I don't see why not. But it's neither for me nor him to say. There's nothing in the record, one way or the other, that would support either surmise.
Well, Your Honor, as I indicated before, when the Board affirms without opinion, as this Court is well aware from its Creche decision, it doesn't necessarily adopt every reason that the immigration judge...
So you're not defending that reason?
No, I'm not, Your Honor.
All right. So here's what I think my concern is about. It's similar. It struck me in reading this that what IJ gets it back and says with instructions to make a credibility finding, and it seems as though the IJ said, all right, you want credibility findings? I'm going to make some credibility findings. I'm going to pick on this person, and I'm going to pick apart her story until I can shake something loose that I can hang my hat on. That's kind of the impression you get from the record rather than, all right, let's hear your evidence and I'm going to make a finding.
Well, Your Honor,
I'm just giving my impression of it and so you can respond to it. So.
I wouldn't characterize it as her being picked on. The questions were asked. She was very evasive during those. She didn't give answers. They had to be asked several times. She didn't give specific answers. And then when she did, they were inconsistent with previous testimony or evidence in the record. Specifically...
Well, she's through translator, right?
Yes.
And it's sort of a complicated hypothetical, saying, why would the government do this? Why would the government do that? So.
But Your Honor, there's no indication that there was any problem with the translator. I'm not sure if that's what you're trying to indicate, but there's no indication, she's made no indication whatsoever that there was any problem with the translation of the hearings or anything to that extent.
No, I was making a slightly different point, was that in translating, it's one thing to say what happened next, and then what did you do, and did you seek that, and hear the answers and make credibility determinations from that. It's quite another to sort of construct a complex layered question and hope that through translation that you're going to get an accurate response.
Well, I think, Your Honor, in parts of the...
I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is when you say you're evasive, so forth, I think, well, you know, I'm not sure she was quite getting what was going on or answering as best she could. We see that type of answer in response to hypotheticals all the time when people are speaking the same language.
Well, Your Honor, with all due respect, I think that's speculation on the part of the court because...
No. I'm just giving you an impression.
...that she was having any trouble understanding the questions or anything like that. And I believe even before the hearing started and got into all the facts and everything, she was told that if she didn't understand something, to let them know so that it could be clarified.
Right, but I mean, some of the questions were something factual. Well, why would the government do this? It's not logical that the government do this because X, X, Y, and Z. Now, I don't know. I mean, she wouldn't know why the government would do that. I mean, he was necessarily, and so she gave an answer that was inconclusive. But I'm not sure that I take it as evasive. But my central point is, it seemed to me that this the manner of examination of this case was a little more pointed and harsh than we see in other cases.
Your Honor, he did get into some areas that maybe another immigration judge wouldn't have gotten into.
It really does seem that the immigration... one could make a case on the basis of this transcript and this record that the immigration judge was hostile to this petitioner because the judge was irked that the lawyer had gone to the BIA and got this sent back. For example, I'm sure you've read this thing, judge to respondent. Well, your lawyer wants the details. Why did the judge say that? You want the details? You're getting the details. And then there's this long list of very sharp questions. Your lawyer wants the details. And then they run away, and then over here he says, okay, well, Mr. Kang, go ahead. Mr. Kang to respondent. Did they give you anesthesia? Judge to Mr. Kang. No, she said no. Answer, she said no. Question, she said no. Answer by the lawyer, I'm sorry, okay. She said she was in discomfort. The judge just butts in, I mean, about every two lines to anything that the lawyer tries to ask.
Your Honor.
Did you get that impression?
No, I got the impression that the immigration judge was trying to find out what had happened and wasn't necessarily getting the information he needed to make his decision. The immigration judges are permitted, as the court knows, to ask questions to clarify the points. It was her burden, and obviously the immigration judge didn't think she was meeting her burden of showing that she was being persecuted in China. I mean, he rendered a decision finding that substantial evidence in this record didn't compel another conclusion.
How many questions did the petitioner's lawyer get out before the judge started asking questions?
Your Honor, I...
The answer is zero. The judge just started asking questions at the hearing. Goes through, how long did you live, what do you do, blah, 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 goes through a couple of pages, then says, okay, you can start, and then interrupts within four questions.
Well, Your Honor,
I'm just saying that that's not a bench trial. You wouldn't expect that to happen.
In fairness, I think the beginning questions were just basic information about her, where she was from, her birth date, things like that, that sometimes lawyers forget about, and then it comes up later.
Right, but this time they didn't even get, the judge didn't say, you didn't get the background information I needed. They just started off.
Well, Your Honor,
I mean, the petitioner has the burden. Petitioner's case. It's not necessarily judges. I take the point that sometimes a judge needs to direct things to get it more get to the relevant points. But
I mean, in fairness, Your Honor, this judge may have been considered a little hostile. But I think as lawyers, we've always appeared before some judge that's been hostile, but it's never been to the point that it's been. I mean, I don't think that you can honestly say because there may be, and I don't think he was hostile in this. I think he was just maybe frustrated because questions weren't getting answered. I don't know necessarily that he was taking out his hostilities on this petitioner. I just think that he wanted the answers answered.
Right, but I think then when you couple that with at least one credibility finding that seems to be pulled out of thin air, then it does create an impression that there was a biased hearing going on.
Well, Your Honor, I think there were other credibility findings in this record that support the immigration judge's finding, particularly her statement that she was coming to the United States to have a son when she herself had testified she had been sterilized prior to coming and didn't know until she got to the U.S. that this procedure may be reversed. And there were the immigration judge pointed out other reasons. I grant you that the statement about her ability to get pregnant the third time before her second abortion, as I said, the board's decision was affirmed without opinion, and under that,
no, I understand what your argument is. But let's assume that we take two credibility findings that seem to be supported. Is that enough for us to conclude that we should disbelieve her on everything else, including the force?
Well, Your Honor, I think it's this court that's...
I understand the standard review, but I'm just talking about as a matter of common sense.
Well, Your Honor, I think...
Give me your best argument why that would be sufficient, standing alone, to disbelieve all of her testimony about past persecution.
Your Honor, if I remember correctly, I think it's this court's decision in Wang that says that it only takes one point to establish a lack of credibility.
Well, it has to be relevant, though, too. So,
well,
if you're just saying you can trip them up on one thing, we can reject it, I think we've not held that.
I mean, I think it is relevant why she came to the United States. Moreover, there's evidence in the record, like when you compare the profile or the State Department report, that says that abortion certificates are given only when a person undergoes them voluntarily. She has two abortion certificates in this record. So that seems to indicate, when you compare it with the State Department reports, that she may not have gone necessarily, this may not have been forced upon her. These abortions may not have been forced upon her. Plus her actions during the second pregnancy, where she claims that she was in hiding at one point in the record, she said, when she was recovering from her first abortion and missed an examination. But then later on, the next month, she goes to work, where she admitted she knew she was going to be. It was going to be determined that she was pregnant because she already knew. I mean, that just doesn't.
Well, why does that? You heard the explanation given today.
Your Honor, I just don't think. I mean, I think that the immigration judge's finding was based on it just didn't make sense, and that the evidence didn't support what she was saying. The substantial evidence in the record didn't compel another conclusion, a different conclusion. I see that my time is well over. If there are any further questions, otherwise we'd ask that the immigration judge's decision be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel. If you care to respond, we'll give you a minute.
Your Honor, I think the point is well and worth looking at in terms of hostility and frustration from the judge, and I don't believe it's from any deliberate actions or evasiveness on behalf of Ms. Zhu. And I think one of the more telling questions from the judge is, do you understand the question? It's asked again at five separate times in one hearing. It's in the CAR at 67, 69, 70, 83, and 84. Another indication that the translation may not have been the best was Appellee's counsel at page 342, CAR 342, had to correct the record and say, I believe my client is saying confiscated, not searched. So, and then the other more subtle point that has also been raised is where does a judge cross the line? When are they able to just ask questions, get factual background? When are they acting as a prosecutor? I submit that I believe Judge Einhorn was a prosecutor before he took the bench and may have slipped back into some old habits. But I think the other thing that's telling is his own question at page 372, where he says, I think you're being evasive, and makes the threat. I will find you not credible if you can't answer my questions. And, you know, the threat coupled with just the open scoffing where she's calling her testimony a load of baloney, when we're dealing with some of the most sensitive and difficult subject matter I can imagine for a witness to deal with on a stand, it was very inappropriate. And I'll close with that.
Thank you, counsel. This case is ordered submitted. The next case, Suhadi, is ordered submitted, as is Tan, Goeji, and Soeth, taking us